We're going to be looking at the last statement of the Nicene Creed today. Not that one. We did that last week. Okay. Here's the last statement. It says, "And we," or I, "look for the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come." It's a short statement, huh? But in that short statement is a lot. Let me just give you a couple of illustrations here. When Operation Desert Storm happened, how many of you remember that? Some of you are too young to remember it, but many of us were here. President Bush Sr. was in the White House back then. And I worked for a company who did the computers, who made the computers for the night vision for the tanks. And so what happened was we had government contracts. Government came in and they really took over the factory where the computers were made. So 24 hours a day, government trucks were coming in and out of the facility, loading up the computers so that our troops can be equipped for the combat that they needed to do overseas. Well, as you know, that war came to an end, and we got word that from the White House that President Bush wanted to visit the company I worked for and just give thanks to all the employees for their extra effort and time and all of that. So here's what happened. People were going around polishing doorknobs. Literally, polishing doorknobs. We got memos saying we could not have any piece of paper on our desk. Our desk had to be polished. Everything had to be in order. People were going around with white gloves on furniture and seeing, this is a true story. So the big day comes. Secret Service is up on the roof. Secret Service is surrounding the building. Security obviously was very tight. President Bush was due in at 10 a.m. I'll never forget it. We were supposed to assemble. There were at that time there were about 2,000 of us in the facility. And about 9:30, we got word that he was called away with a sincere regrets. Now, that's not a criticism on President Bush. Presidents are busy guys. But the length we went to prepare for the visit of the person who holds the highest office in this country was incredible. So I want to ask this morning, how much more should we be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? How much more? Now, the maintenance staff and others who cleaned that facility and polished the doorknobs and made sure all the windows were clean and we looked nice for the president, they did that because they got paid. Okay? We got saved by the grace of God, through the love of Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Christ on the cross. How much more should we be looking forward to the coming of Christ? There was a custodian in Denver Seminary years ago, and every night he would be the night custodian. He'd sit in the gym watching the students, the seminarians, play basketball and just be there in case they needed him. And one of the seminary students, first-year seminary student, dangerous. Be a first-year seminary student, you think you know it all, saw that he had his Bible open to the book of Revelation. And he passed by, and he looked, and he's reading Revelation. He passed by, and he's reading Revelation, and this smug, arrogant student went to the custodian and said, "Hey, I noticed you're reading the book of Revelation." Custodian says, "Yeah." He says, "Come on, do you really understand it?" He says, "No, not all of it." He says, "Well, what do you understand about it?" He says, "I know this, Christ is coming back again." With that, God broke the pride of this smug seminary student because he got the message of the book. Revelation's a tough book to understand, But it's not so tough not to get the main message that one day Christ is coming back again. Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows when he's coming. God the Father does. We don't. So my question today is, are we ready for the coming of the King? Are we prepared? You know, here's the thing, and I'll tip my hand here a little bit. If we knew, if God revealed to us that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, and may very well, I don't know, but if he revealed that to us, churches would be overflowing. Isn't that true? Oh, are we thick-headed? You know, I went to undergrad school in that great Italian university, What's the Matter You? All right? And as I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, nobody knows when he's coming. He can come today. He can come tomorrow. I mean, that's God's business. But in the meantime, are we ready for the coming of the King? That's a key question that we all have to answer. Is the second coming of Christ important? Does it matter? Should it matter? What does it mean to us? So as we take a look at the Nicene Creed, I need to refresh this a little bit, because the creed was given to correct heresy or wrong theology. Listen to what I'm going to say. Bad theology will result in bad thinking and bad living. Did you catch that? Bad theology will result in bad thinking and bad living. It always has, always will. And so the Nicene Creed was given in this part to correct the bad theology that there is no resurrection. Jesus and Paul and Peter and John all addressed this in the New Testament to say, well, if there's no resurrection, then our faith is useless, because Jesus is still in the grave, correct? But there was a resurrection. You realize the resurrection is the most documented event in history. Without CNN, although they probably wouldn't even broadcast it, without Fox, without NBC, without ABC, and so on and so forth, it's the most documented thing. Well, in Jesus' day, the Sadducees denied that there would be a resurrection from the dead. And Jesus rebukes them. Emily, I'm sorry to do this to you again. This will be the last week. Mark 12, starting at verse 18. Look at this with me, okay? Then the Sadducees, they were the religious lawyers, if you will. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came with a question to Jesus, and they said, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, a man must marry the widow and raise up the offspring of the brother. You got to follow this closely, okay? Next, I can do that, right? Next verse, okay? Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no children. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. Now, they were trying to trap Jesus. They said, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Whew. Since the seven were married to her. Hey, look how Jesus answers. Jesus replied, are you not in error? It's a nice way of saying to them, you missed it all. You missed it all. Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God, but when the dead rise, and they will rise, they will neither marry nor be given to marriage, but they will be like the angels of heaven. Now about the rising from the dead, have you not read the book? Read it in the book of Moses, and Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and says, "Look, it's all there. How could you miss this? That the resurrection is going to be real." I don't want to, for the time's sake, I don't want to take you through the whole thing, but you can look in my notes. You can see the references. If we can go to John chapter 5, I just want to give you one more chapter here. It's the same type of thing. Did I put that in there? No? So we won't go to John chapter 5. I thought I put it in there. Do you realize that there's still this error in our culture? There are people walking around believing that there is no life after the grave. You know what they're saying? There's no resurrection. If there's no life after the grave, then remember a song called, Is That All There Is? This is it. And, you know, then we get into the mentality, okay, then it doesn't matter how I live. Because there's not going to be any final accounting, right? The grave is the end. So this was a product of my generation, by the way. And it showed in some of the songs. Live for today was one of the names of the song. Just live for today. Another song, if you can't be with the one you love, love you under with, right? All right? Boy, you're showing your age. Right? This is a major error for today. This is what a lot of people are being taught today, that there is no resurrection. So there's no resurrection. There's no judgment. This is all there is. The Thessalonians had a problem, and Paul addressed it in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul starts to address this, but what happened with the Thessalonians, there was an error in teaching among some of the people, and they were saying they knew the day Jesus was coming back. This is the other extreme. They knew the day that Jesus was coming back, and so a lot of people in the church quit their jobs. If they had charge cards, they probably would have gone and charged everything up to the hilt because what do they care, right? Jesus is coming back. And Paul says, listen, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe, that Jesus died and rose again so that we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Oh, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I can't wait to hear those trumpets. And he's not going to need any microphones or anything like that. I mean, this is going to be an incredible sight. With a loud command, I have a feeling the whole universe will know. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God. After that, those who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's us, okay? And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Oh. If there is no resurrection, then the gospel's all a lie. Isn't it? The gospel's all a lie if there is no resurrection. When we deny the resurrection, we deny the power of God. What's the scripture say? Jesus was raised from the dead in the power of God and the Holy Spirit. We deny the power of God. If we think the grave is the end, we're denying the power of God. I don't know about you, but I look forward to the day when I'm not fat anymore. Because the scripture says that when we are raised up, we will get a new body fit for heaven, not here, fit for heaven, body without disease, a body with no more pain, no more tears. Isn't that great? I can eat lasagna and not worry about it. I won't have to go to the doctor and get cholesterol meds. However, for that to happen, the king has to come back. He has to come back. See, good theology will lead to right thinking and right living. We're told to look expectantly. 1 Corinthians 1:7, can you see that? I just want to very brief for this. It says, therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift as you, what's the word? Wait for the Lord Jesus to be what? Revealed. To come back again. The word that's used there is apocalypse. Sound familiar? To Jesus to come back again. His second coming will be visible, physical, and unexpected. Matthew 24, I know I have that in there, verses 30 and 31. And he will send his angel with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to the other. Next verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates, what? His sheep from the goats. This is a time of judgment too. Okay? He's coming. He's coming with glory. He's going to come as judge. 2 Timothy 4:1. Do I have that in there? In the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will what? Who? The living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, he says to Timothy, I give you this charge, and he goes on. He's going to come back as a judge. If you're a baseball fan, when I say that word judge, you're going to think of Aaron Judge right away, right? The judge's court in Yankee Stadium. Listen, there's a judge coming more powerful than Aaron. There's a judge coming more powerful than the Supreme Court of the United States. There's a judge coming whose word's going to be final and just and fair and deliberate. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's going to come as a warrior, Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven, this is John speaking, I love Revelation. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. White horse in John's time was the symbol of a victorious king whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. Whoa. Comes on a white horse. A little later on in that passage, it says his title is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will come to rule. Revelation 20. It's going to read part of this. And I saw an angel coming out of heaven, having the keys to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. Picture this. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is who?
Devil.
Or Satan. You know what devil means, by the way? Devil means deceiver, right? Satan means adversary. And bound him for how long?
1,000 years
while Jesus reigned on this earth with you and me, those who follow him. He's coming. Jesus says this is going to be the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's going to be great for those who know him. It's going to be terrible for those who don't. He'll sit on the throne of David and establish his kingdom once and for all. He will reign forever and ever. He will come for his church. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, I'm going to tip my hand. You can yell at me after the service if you want. Why are we so careless sometimes with our own walk in Christianity and following Jesus Christ when the King of Kings could come back any day? Why are we so careless in how we view the church and the importance of the church? Why are we so careless sometimes with how we view his word? If you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you dust off your Bible? Would you take some magazines out of your house that shouldn't be there? Would you call the cable company and discontinue some channels that shouldn't be there? In other words, would you clean house? Just like the people did at my old company in expectation of George Bush? Would you do that? Would you make sure you were in church the day before? I mean, I'm asking these questions because the average church attendance in North America in the evangelical church is down to 60 people. And that includes the mega churches. Discipleship is all but forgotten. Prayer meetings. There are more churches who don't have prayer meetings than do. The Bible is the number one selling book in this country and the least read. But you know the King is coming. He's coming. Will it matter? Are we ready? How should we live in the light of his imminent return? I just wrote down a couple of things. For those of you who may get discouraged looking at history, we have a history teacher among us. History doesn't go in cycles and just repeat itself. Although when we do things the same way, we get the same results that history gives. We should learn from history, but even at that, history is going towards a goal. And it's not going towards some nebulous goal. It's going towards the goal of Christ coming back again. History is being directed by God. Now, if you don't understand that, we can talk more about it, but it's being directed. Well, you say, people, wait a minute. You'll look at all the evil in the world. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? We're evil. In and of ourselves, we're evil. That's why evil's in the world. And so evil's going to be in the world. But history is going towards the second coming of Christ, because that's when history will end, when Jesus comes back again. We should watch and be faithful to Christ. We don't know when he's coming. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the suddenness of how life can change? It could change in a moment for any of us, right? Some of us have been through that. How much more with the coming of Jesus Christ? Word says we'll be transformed in the blink of an eye. We're going to get our resurrected bodies in the blink of an eye. I want to see how CNN is going to report that. How they can explain the old clothes that are laying around. Or the planes whose pilots just disappear. Or the cars where the drivers were there 1 second, not there the next second. I would love to be around to see how they explain that. They'll try. There will be the great reversal. You know what that is? When Jesus comes as the warrior and the judge, he will correct all the wrongs once and for all. Some of us get down because we think evil's winning, right? There's a lot of horrible people doing a lot of horrible things who look like they have no problems in the world. Well, when Jesus comes back again, that's all going to be corrected. That's all going to be corrected. All the wrongs will be brought to account. And last, we need to continue in the will of God. We need to continue. I hope you don't leave here today and say, hey, Jesus is going to come back soon. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, you do. If you really believe he's coming back soon, we need to be faithful to what he's called us to do. Love him and love others and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be careful how we live because people look. Can people see any difference in us? Can they? Should they? Do you realize, and I hate cliches, So take this in the spirit of where it comes from. Do you realize that you will be probably the only Bible that people see? We have a lot of work to do. The church has a lot of work to do because the King is coming. Are we ready? I'm going to ask those, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, right? In preparation for the Lord's table, I want to reflect on the cross, because the communion time, it should be a reflection on what Christ did for us 2,000 years ago and what Christ means to us today. And we need to look forward to his coming again.